Well, friends, it is great to be together again as we are going through this this little series of sermons, Meditation in Mark, and following the lectionary readings for the season of Pentecost. I love walking through what seems like kind of a short gospel with an easy pace and letting these stories and these words of Jesus really work on us and work on our hearts, especially over the summer months as things seem to kind of slow down a little bit, and perhaps even in your own life, you have a little bit more time to kind of think about things and meditate on things, and hopefully these series of sermons are helping you meditate in the Gospel of Mark. You know, last week, we talked about the reality that faith in Him, faith in Jesus, is what is really bringing salvation into our lives, not our family of origin or not where we come from or our moral perfection, but really faith in Jesus. And that faith makes us look a little bit crazy to the world. And today, Jesus continues talking about our faith in Him, and He uses these two parables to try and do so. And for a parable, really a parable for us, and again, I just kind of want to set the stage, it's a comparison, right? So a parable is one of the best ways that Jesus used to kind of teach. It was a very common teaching tool for Jesus. He would take something that was spiritual, a spiritual truth, something that's hard to sort of see through the eyes of sin and the law, but something that's real and a reality in our world, right, especially to our faith life, and He would cast it alongside something in our world, in our earthly kingdom, something that we would recognize, something that we would know immediately, and then He kind of makes these comparisons back and forth. And so sometimes these comparisons, what we understand is they're not always obvious and they're not always explicit. In our reading today, we heard that Jesus explained all of His parables to His disciples, but His disciples didn't write down, apparently, all of those explanations, right? And so for us, these parables tend to kind of sit with us and kind of come back up again and again. I know I've been meditating on this all week long. They keep coming back up again and again and helping us to find similarities. And so that's what we're going to try and do today, right? We're going to try and see how both of these parables, while short and simple, they have something in common. They have this kind of mystery that's right in the middle of the parable. In the first parable, the mystery is how our faith grows. And in the second parable, the mystery is sort of how big our faith can grow. So I want to start with this first parable and kind of just meditate on this with you a little bit here. You know, Jesus taught them about the kingdom, and He says the kingdom of God is like this. He says, a man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, and I love this part, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Right? In a world where experts are rewarded for their knowledge and their ability to explain complex situations or technologies, this farmer admits that he doesn't know how the seed goes from being planted to being harvested. No clue, right? And what makes it worse, I think, is that we're not told that this farmer is particularly bothered by not knowing how the seed grows. He just says day after day, he just kind of plants his seed, he scatters the seed out there, and then he lets it grow. He doesn't get out like his first century microscope and try to examine the structure of the stalk. He doesn't, you know, dig up in the ground and do week by week kind of like science projects on the growth of the root system. He's content, it seems, to just sort of let the seed and the soil do their work. He works to plant the seed. That part he understands. And he works to harvest the crop. That part he understands. But it's this mysterious sort of middle section that he does not understand. Yeah. Now this sort of structure, right, of knowing the beginning and understanding the end, but kind of having a mysterious middle, is very familiar to the first century people. And it's also, I think, very familiar to us too. No matter how far we advance, and we are certainly more advanced perhaps in the way that we understand the universe and the human body and things like this, there are still things that are a total mystery to us. I remember when I was in, I think it was probably like 6th or 7th grade, I got a Jeff Foxworthy CD, comedy CD. For the very first time, I remember he had a section on there that was things I don't know. And I just remember being so tickled by the idea that he said he did not know who closed the door when the bus driver got off the bus. Do you know what I mean? That's a slow burn, but the bus driver uses the lever. Right? There are things that we just don't understand. And as we get older, perhaps, right, we think to ourselves, like, well, I'll start to understand things better. Right? And maybe we do in certain areas, right? But I got to tell you, when it comes to technology, it feels like the older I get, the less I understand the mysterious middle, right? And if you were to ask me, like, to explain how a text message goes from my phone, right, and it says, hey, I'm 5 minutes late, and that gets to Debbie's phone, I don't know the process. I don't know the nuts and bolts of how that works. Father's Day makes me remember Mother's Day, and I made a slideshow of all the pictures that Debbie was in for the last year, and I was going to show it to our family on Mother's Day, and I had made a dinner, and I had made dessert, and everything was going to culminate in this, like, PowerPoint video type presentation, and I just needed to get it from my computer to our TV. Let me just tell you, that Mother's Day press conference was not great. We're going to try a different strategy next year on that, because I didn't understand how that worked. What are some of the mysterious middles that we live with all the time? You know, think about friendships, right? You kind of know, like, how a friendship begins, and perhaps you know what it looks like today. You know what the outcome is of having a really close, good friend in your life. Right? But how exactly did that relationship mature? What were the series of events and circumstances that led you to really trust and fall in love with this person, you know, and really consider them a trustworthy kind of confidant? It's mysterious. What about parenting? Right? We know how parenting begins, the family program, right? We know how parenting begins, and we know what the result kind of is. Right, but what about the mysterious middle? How exactly do the personalities and the morality and sort of the person that our children become, how does that all kind of happen? What's the equation? What are the inputs? What's the XYZ that gives us the result that we want? I got to tell you, right, you know this. There's parenting books ad nauseum that say, I know exactly how that mysterious middle happens. And you get finished with the book and you're like, I don't know if that was really it, right? And I think that there's lots of things in our life. My point is kind of this, that there are lots of things in our life that we understand the origin, we understand the beginning, and we kind of understand what the output is going to be, but ultimately we don't know how the whole thing is put together. And the question is simply this, like, can your faith be one of those things? Can you let your faith be one of those things that has a mysterious middle? The beginning of faith is like scattering the seed, right? It's like a mustard seed that's very small. It's not flashy or exciting. When you think about baptism, it's not even half of the worship service, right? It's just simple water, right, mixed with the power of God's word, and yet that seed of faith is planted in the heart of the one being baptized. You think about your own personal kind of devotional life. You know, how often do you finish a devotion in the morning, just a little short reading, or you finish a walk where you're meditating? Maybe you break a fast that you've been on for a day, and you sort of think to yourself, like, I guess that was nice, you know, but it wasn't like life-changing, you know, it wasn't like course-altering, it's just sort of nice, you know, it's like a good sandwich, just kind of gets you through till dinner, right? But the seed of faith, right, was planted. And, you know, if you find yourself at times kind of thinking that the way God's word gets planted in your heart is not very remarkable or kind of subtle, almost to the point of being unnoticeable, almost to the point of being boring, right? You're right where Jesus says you will be. But this tiny, seemingly insignificant thing that's done day after day, planting that seed, has the potential to grow and to grow into this exponentially larger thing. The image that Jesus uses is a mustard plant. Right? And the mustard plant is one of the most invasive things that you can plant. In the first century, they wouldn't let mustard trees be planted within the city gates. They would push them outside the city because they knew that when you plant a mustard seed, it's invasive. It grows wild and it grows very dense. Now, it's a great place for birds to come and make their nest, to feel protected and to feel safe, but it's not so great if you want your other crop to kind of survive, right? So it takes over. And so they would plant it outside the city, right? The kingdom of God comes to us in small seeds, but it grows like a weed, you know, until it is ready to be harvested, which Jesus says is going to look something like birds coming and feeling safe to build their nest. Right? That's when it's ready to be harvested. That's what maturity and growth looks like, right? Other people feel safe to come and build their nest around you, right? And if you ask, how does this happen? How does the kingdom of God go from being a seed to being a guarantee? How does our faith go from something that is holding on to us to being something that we would die to protect? The farmer who is most intimately connected with the process, who is closest watching the seed grow every single day, throws his hands up and says, I have no idea. I don't know how a small seed of faith becomes this great, mature plant. I don't know. I don't know how a church goes from being just a few people who love each other and are trying to study God's word together and remind each other that they're loved and forgiven in Christ. I don't know how it goes from that to being a community of people that are living out the love of the King all over our community every day. I don't know how it goes from this to that, and I got to tell you, it gives me great humility. Right? The farmer knows how to plant the seed. The father knows how to plant the seed. The friend knows how to plant the seed, but we don't know how the rest works. And so we live by faith and not by sight. Right? And so as we go from here and we consider these parables, I just would offer to you, right? Are there areas in your life right now where you're feeling impatient? And this parable needs to be cast alongside and give you a sense of humility and give you a sense of trust. Are there places in your life right now that are repetitive? And it feels like you're just doing the same thing day after day and you're seeing no result. Are there relationships? You're just trying so hard to make it better, and you're just thinking about it day after day after day, and you're not seeing the results. Can we cast this parable alongside that and give you confidence, give you endurance, right? Because we know how the story begins. And friends, we know how the story ends. We know that we have this Heavenly Father who is building a heavenly home for us. And we know that we can please Him right now by planting those seeds of faith day after day and leaving the rest up to Him. Can we pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these mysteries of Your kingdom and the way that You grow our faith from small seeds into these flourishing plants. Help us to trust You with the parts that we don't understand and to find peace in the work of the mysterious middle. Guide us to live lives that glorify You in all that we do as we faithfully plant these seeds in love with those around us. And give us the humility to recognize Your hand at work in every aspect of the growth that comes from it. We pray this in Your Son's name. Amen. Amen.